Please be seated. We regularly talk of the humanity of Jesus, how in Jesus the eternal Word puts on human flesh, and in the person of Jesus becomes fully human and fully divine. And so we contemplate the horrors and agony that Jesus experienced in his human body when he is tortured and nailed to the cross. The bodily resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus in his flesh, is central to the faith we have received and live. And in the Eucharist, particularly as we heard not so long ago, we had 6 weeks hearing about this, in the Eucharist, we receive the body and blood of Jesus, taking into ourselves that abiding presence of God in signs of bread and wine. But I wonder if there are some aspects of the humanity of Jesus or the implications of Jesus being fully human that maybe make us a little uncomfortable. Maybe we don't want to talk about them. That maybe we can have a tendency to overemphasize his divinity at the expense of his full humanity. I say this because, and we had a very interesting conversation at the discussion group this morning, I cannot commend that group enough, but we wrestled with this question, because in our gospel it may be that Jesus is being rude to a woman. It may be in our gospel that Jesus is changing his mind, and we're not altogether, at least in that group, we were not altogether comfortable with that. Of course, the backstory to this is Jesus, in this part of Mark's gospel, has been busy teaching and healing and casting out demons. He has fed the multitudes from a few loaves of bread and fish. And then Mark tells us that Jesus travels to Gentile territory, to Tyre and Sidon, in what is today modern-day Lebanon. And Jesus enters a house, and he doesn't want anyone to know he's there. It appears the disciples are not with him. I think he's trying to get away from the crush of those crowds and get some space, some rest. But Jesus never can escape notice. People are clamoring to be with him, to hear him teach, and to be healed. And so sure enough, a Gentile woman hears where Jesus is, enters the house. She bows at his feet and asks a favor. She tells Jesus that her daughter has a demon and begs that Jesus heal her. Now, according to the practices of that day, an unrelated woman should not have approached Jesus, a Jewish man, in the privacy of that home. This is especially true with her being a Gentile. She shouldn't speak to Jesus. She shouldn't ask a favor of him. But she does. Her daughter needs healing. And she believes that Jesus can heal her daughter. Now here's where we get to the complicated part. Because Jesus says something to the Gentile woman that doesn't sit entirely well with us. It sounds like he's being rude. How do we reconcile his words in that moment with the Jesus we follow? Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." What Jesus is saying is that his mission is to the people of Israel. It is not to the Gentiles. They are not his focus. And he was attempting to end that conversation and go no further. But that woman has a daughter who needs healing, and she does not give up. So rather than go away, she says, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Quite a retort. And shows that the woman has such faith that Jesus can help by healing her daughter. She believes he has power over illness. The woman is challenging the conventions of her day. She's acting outside what might be appropriate. She's challenging Jesus. But something happens. Through this exchange, Jesus seems to reconsider, and he says to the woman, "For saying that you may go, the demon has left your daughter." And Mark tells us, sure enough, when she gets home, her daughter is healed. This is the only time in Mark's gospel when Jesus does not have control of the conversation. The Gentile woman is the only person who has this kind of exchange and seems to move Jesus. The woman takes Jesus' words and has a quick retort, and he seems to change. And I think that this exchange serves an important purpose in Mark's gospel, particularly in this seventh chapter. You'll remember from last Sunday, just before this passage, Jesus called the Pharisees to broaden their definition of who is faithful, what is clean, how to live holy lives. He called them to expand their understanding of who is welcome at the table. Jesus challenged their narrow definitions of who's welcome and who is not. And immediately after challenging that narrowness of the Pharisees, Jesus has this encounter with a Gentile woman who challenges Jesus to expand his sense of his own mission, to in fact welcome Gentiles at the table and not leave them to just gather the crumbs. It seems that the exchange with this woman moves Jesus. And because of this conversation, because of her deep faith, Jesus heals her daughter. The story of this healing of the Gentile woman's daughter is immediately followed by the healing of a man who is deaf with a speech impediment. And Jesus has no hesitation in healing him. But Jesus disregards the teachings of the Pharisees. He rejects their purity code because he spits on his finger and touches the man's tongue and his ears. Pharisees would not like that. Then Jesus looks up to heaven, he sighs, and he says, "Ephatha," which means "be opened." And the man is, immediately, the man is opened. He's able to hear, he is able to speak. He is healed. Mark is contrasting that man who is healed with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are stuck in what they believe is right, in their understanding of how to faithfully follow God. Jesus finds them to be deaf to God's call, unable to speak God's truth. And in contrast, this man that he heals, who's likely Gentile, who's likely also an outsider, is able to hear God's call and then can speak God's word. This account calls all who follow Jesus to be opened like that man, to let their ears be unstopped, to let their tongues be loosed. Those who follow Jesus are called to hear Jesus and to proclaim his good news. We too are called. And just like the Pharisees, we are called to broaden our understanding and our practice. Jesus calls us away from the rigid boundaries of our day to embrace the broad love of God. Jesus heals us of whatever ways we are stopped. He heals us of our assumptions, of the narrow ways we view other people. Jesus liberates us from exclusionary views that we are taught by our society. And Jesus challenges us to identify those places we are stopped, to name our places of blindness, of deafness, our places where privilege blinds us to those with less privilege and power. And so I think this gospel passage calls those of us who are white to that hard work of learning our nation's history, its full history, to learn the history of our own state of Rhode Island, to learn our own history of this neighborhood of Mount Hope, to learn how those of us who are white benefit from this history. We're called to suspend what we think we know about others and respectfully listen to the stories and experiences of Black and Indigenous and other people of color. We're called to actively use our own privilege and our own power to dismantle the evil of white supremacy. Those of us who are male are called to be unstopped, to learn how our maleness gives us privilege in this society. Those of us who are straight are called to see the privilege we possess, the power that is not shared by those who are part of the LGBTQ community. And those of us who are middle class are called to see our economic privilege, our own prosperity, and how it comes at the expense of those who have less, and comes at the expense of creation. In today's gospel, Jesus calls us to respond to the ways that we are blinded by our privilege, to be healed of those times when we are certain of our position, to those times we misread other people. And I think Jesus shows us in this passage how to proceed. He shows us how to experience someone, to see them, to hear them, to see how they are different from us. And then, like Jesus, allow those moments to change us, to learn from them. Jesus shows us how to open ourselves to a new way that transforms us into the people God calls us to be. Jesus shows us how we are called to embrace the broad love of God so that we welcome all at the table. And Jesus shows us how to encounter people, seeing and hearing them as they are, embracing their full identity, allowing ourselves to be changed from encountering them. And by following Jesus, our witness can be a leaven for our nation, which is plunged into political division. When those who disagree vilify others, the love of God can heal and reconcile. When those who are seen as a threat because they are different, a threat to our safety, to our economic well-being, we can live by God's generous love, which can heal our fractured world. When so many people around the world suffer from the effects of climate change, of violence, of war and famine, the compassionate love of God lived by all who follow Jesus can be a healing balm in a harsh and brutal world. And so, like Jesus, we are called to be opened. We are called to be open to the fullness of God's inclusive love. And we are called to raise our voices proclaiming this good news of Jesus for all people to hear. Let us seek, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live love's call, to allow ourselves to be changed by the broad, inclusive love of God, and to proclaim it for all to hear. Amen.